Okay, we on.
Can
What's up,
me?
Bro? What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? You know what, Anchor? You guys make this so hard. You guys make this so hard to connect with other individuals to start this process. But ladies and gentlemen, this is my boy, Steezy. You already know me, the one and only Young Dury. And that's how I would start off a podcast, my G. For example, we're going to do it again, though. But that's how I would start it off as an introduction because, you know, you got to do the bullshit. But, yeah, we on, bro. This is it. What's up?
What's good with it?
How you doing?
I'm good. I go by the name DCZ. It's been a long time coming. What is it? It's like December 17, 2023.
Yeah.
We was probably supposed to do this like 2, 3, 4 years ago during the pandemic.
Definitely.
But it is what it is. I'm here. We here.
Nothing Welcome. Else Welcome. And you know what? We decided to actually have a podcast about the conversation we were just having because we talk about so many different prepper of things, and that's not a word, but don't worry about it. Look it up when you time off. And we actually decided to share some of our thoughts with you guys. So, you know, stay tuned. Continue to listen. If you're driving, you might be on the bike. You might be swimming. Who knows? So, how do you want to start this conversation off, bro?
It's your show. I'm just a guest.
Let's just start. You know what? Let's just start off with the meat.
Pause.
Yeah, big pause. What do you think about...
You had to pause that, man, right quick.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Let's talk about
you
the
had
meats.
To just pause that,
Let's
man.
Talk about the meats.
Pause.
What do you think about the state of Black mental health right now?
The state of Black mental health. That's what you want to talk about.
Yeah. What you think about that?
The state of Black mental health. Are we considering what are we considering when we talk about the state of Black
mental health? I guess as a whole, as a culture, as a people, you feel like we need to grow, or you feel like we cool where we at? All right, here's a segue question. Do you feel like Black women belong to us?
Belong to who? Earth?
Black men.
So to start off with your first question, the answer to the state of mental health for Black people, I think it's the same for everybody all around. I feel like it's more specifically is traumas that are encoded in us through slavery, to keep it 100. We ain't gonna act like they didn't beat certain things into us through trauma and generations. So let's like uplift that to be 100. But at the end of the day, I think we all need therapy. We all should engage in therapy. We all should be doing some therapeutic daily, because healing is a lifelong journey. Most of us will, or all of us will die before we truly heal. But as long as we're doing something that is driving through or to working through issues and trying to process and figure things out from when we was young to the age we are now, I think we'd be good and better off. And then in terms of mental health, as it comes to love, I think we need to rewire, reprogram, and rethink our approach to love, what it means to have love for, what does it mean to love to, and what do we know about how to love and how to receive it? I think all that,
gotta write those down.
All that has to do with mental health.
That's pretty dope. I was just watching something on YouTube where a man was saying, look in the mirror and tell you, look in your eyes in the mirror, tell yourself you love yourself 10 times. Do 10 big breaths, you just crazy breaths. And he said one more thing, and he said it'll change your life. But that's a segue. And my other question was, do you think Black women belong to us?
And then again, what do you mean by to us? Who is us? Who are you speaking of? That's what I would like.
I guess I would say Black men. I guess
Black men. Yeah.
Yeah, Black men. If a Black woman was getting jumped in the alley, do you feel like you need to go save her, or would you keep walking?
It's a 50-50% chance I'll do either or, and that's a fact. It's a real human answer that I gave. Like, I'm trying to do better at conditioning myself to stand up for people in general, let alone
your own
African American woman or a black woman at the time of need of support. I could cause more detriment getting into somebody else's problems, right? And also, I will say, I will be putting myself in danger. But what I'm trying to do nowadays is to learn how to work through that in the time of need to say, yo, fuck all that. This is somebody that needs help. Help her.
Period.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think earlier on you meant, like, you said, does black women belong to black men? Yes. I think one of the issues we have in terms of our relationships with each other is that we both have so much trauma, so much negativity, so much against us in terms of society on the in the world on a day-to-day basis. And same thing as our family, our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers and our grandfathers and all the other men in our family have been through, that we don't take the time needed to process that. Again, you talked about mental health in black people. We don't take the time to work through that the least bit before we approach each other, let alone work on it together when we're with each other. So yeah, that's how I feel about that. So we are meant for each other. It's just gonna take some time. That's how I really feel about it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting point of view. That's sad to take some time to think on that, audience. He dropped a lot of jewels.
I mean, it is what it is. The first thing we want to say, you know, people date outside their race all the time. And
do you date outside your race?
I've have in the past. And then after, you know.
So, I mean, speaking on the struggle. I mean, you're a black man. I'm a black man. Speaking on the struggle, do you feel like dating outside your race? Do you feel like another race will understand the culture and to understand what you went through? I say that because Jonathan Majors, who played Kang on Ant-Man, just had a spat with his ex, and they had some audio out, which he was just basically saying, "I need you to act like Coretta Scott. I need you to act like Michelle Obama," but his woman is a white woman, you know? So how do you feel about dating outside the race and the struggle that comes with being a black man, period?
Being a black man is king. Being a black man is God, first and foremost. So I feel like just me, who I am, you know, I'm deserving of whoever wants to love me. And I'm deserving of that love they put forth. So yes, I have dated outside my race, as you say. And my experience with that is, like, as long as this person loved me, I will be okay. But the hindrance around that was, I began to condition myself to think that this person who is not black will never understand. And based on my experience that I'm speaking on, having certain conversations prove that.
Does that condition you into love a certain way?
It never
your experience.
It didn't condition me to love a certain way, but it opened my eyes to know that if I saw a permanent future with this woman, that this would be a lifelong journey of teaching this person about what it means for me to be a black man, what it means for me to be black.
And what it means for that person to be with her culture, Chinese, black, white, Indian.
No disrespect. The culture at the time of that said or those said partners didn't matter because whether it was love involved or not, I'm pretty sure I was perceived to be black dick, and it is what it is. You know what I mean? And so it took me a minute to begin to understand that, like, you know, and so
you're saying, just to make sure, when you say black dick, you mean anywhere you go,
fetishized, fetishized.
Right. I was just about to say that you feel like you're going to be looked at as a black man. Fetishized gangster, rapper, basketball player.
It is what it is.
The normal statistics. Know? Yeah.
And that's the first thing people have to like.
So you realize. Feel like, all right, now, are you saying all or are you saying some?
I'm saying based on my experience, this based is what I have experienced.
Got you. Just trying to make sure I'm hitting all parameters. Got you. Okay.
Yeah, I don't speak on behalf of the entire
black men. Black men. Right, right.
I keep speaking on my experience. So right. It was surreal when, I used to tell an ex-partner about my experiences throughout the day, my experience with cops, and it was brushed off. And then I remember we got pulled over in my car and she's freaking out. Right. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then she says, well, you're a black man. And I'll never forget, I must have turned so cold and looked at her and made like this weird, like, you know, when Mike Epps, he lifted his lip and he pointed at it like what? Oh, Now you understand.
I've never had the experience of being with a white woman and having the cops approach me, but I've definitely had the experience of being with a black woman and have the cops approach me.
I wasn't a white woman, but I hear you.
I've had the experience being around a white man and having him experience what I go through, meaning cops approach me, guns are already drawn, our hands are already on holsters. And they're asking me questions that has nothing to do with what I'm doing. They're making assumptions. Yeah. And that form of racism, he was like, oh, this is what you go through on a day. Yeah, they're already guns are out, my G, and they're already shoot to kill. It doesn't matter who I am, my character, what I brought to the community, my neighborhood. I'm still looked at as this nigga on the street that ain't worth shit, that's trying to kill or manipulate or steal. You dig? So
yeah,
you know, and I hear that.
Yeah,
I hear that, which sucks, but you know, that's the world we live in.
I feel you.
Okay, good. This, you got a smart young brother here. This is my boy though, so I expect nothing.
I've known this man for years.
I expect nothing but the best from this guy. Three books that you want to share to the audience that you think there's not being enough attention drawn to, and maybe three things. I'll wait for your first answer.
Y'all go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead.
Three things you think people can do for the community a little bit more as well.
The first book, first and foremost, I got to give it up to God and the creator of Dr. Seuss. Green Eggs and Ham is always going to be my favorite book. Green Eggs and Ham.
Shout out to Dr.
Seuss. That's always going to be my favorite book. There's nothing nobody going to be able to tell me about Green Eggs and Ham. Okay. Make sure you get that. Everybody should have that in their book, on their bookshelf. You get Green Eggs and Ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am. You feel me? That is my book. If anybody is listening and want to get me something for Christmas, get me something Green Eggs and Ham based. You don't have to give me the book, because I don't want nobody tuned into this and there. Now I got 34 Green Eggs and Ham books, but get creative with it. Give me a painting of the cover.
You have 100 Green Eggs and Ham.
You know what I'm saying?
To your address.
Give me Green Eggs and Ham socks. You know, get creative with it. Give me a Green Eggs and Ham notebook cover. You know what I'm saying? Like I could put notebooks in it. That would be crazy. Yeah, I'm just making that stuff off the top of my head. But the other two, on a serious note, would be the Hood Health Hip Hop. Was it the Hood Health Hip Hop Handbook? Something like that. Volume 1. That is an easy read. It is a great book in regards to the state of Black health as it correlates to hip hop. Please go get that book. You know what? I need to get everybody that book for Christmas. If I fuck with you, I tell people about that book and I get that book for them.
So are you an advocate reader?
Avid reader.
Okay. avid reader.
And not necessarily, but I am, because I've been doing a lot of writing, I am going to do more reading than I have books. The second one was recommended by my therapist. It is called The Body Keeps the Score. Mm. And it has to do with trauma.
Heard about that one.
It's a good book. I'm still reading through it.
Has reading? Yeah. I know. I gave you an answer about three things about the community, which you think you should do more. But
hold on, let me answer that one too. Okay. And then on a serious note, I was serious about Green Eggs and Ham, but to give another book, my three headed monster of books. So the first one was the Hood Health Hip Hop Handbook or something like that, volume one. The second one was The Body Keeps the Score, and the third one, at least. In no particular order, is All About Love by Bell Hooks. I encourage everybody to read those three. You know what, we just on Black mental health. I encourage all my Black people to read all three of those books for sure. Especially All About Love. I am an advocate about love. I am an avid lover. I love love. I fathom love. I am a hopeless romantic. But those three books for sure would set people up, I feel like, for a lifetime. Like I said, for those that I love, those that I care about, you know what, I'm just gonna go ahead and start purchasing those books and sending them out to everybody. I'm a firm believer in giving people a piece of me and welcoming them into my world. And I would do just that by gifting those three books throughout the rest of next year.
Do you feel like reading has pushed you more through life?
I feel like my mind has pushed me more through life. Like nobody,
as far as perception.
I don't know anybody. Yes, I don't know anybody as philosophical as I am. I don't know anybody that think as much as I do, as quickly as I do, as critically as I do. I don't know anybody that overthinks the way I overthink. But let me digress. Let me slow down. Let me get back to your question about community.
What? One second. Do you put energy towards? Do you put energy towards zodiacs? Do you give that conversation energy? Meaning, for example, if I believe in a ghost and I have a conversation about a ghost, I feel like I'm going to perpetuate that, and now it's going to come true on some perception or some capacity. Meaning, if I say I'm sick 24/7, then I'm going to get sick. So
yeah, words and spells, yes.
Okay,
yes. But in terms of zodiacs, I could give you a brief little story about that. So I never really believed in the zodiac or astrology. I know my signs. I don't know too much about my signs, but I picked up that everybody else knows a lot about, you know, signs. You feel me? So at the end of the day, it was a business move. Let me say, it was a business move. So me being active in the community, doing work, I remember I sat down with the CEO, and he looked at me across the table and said, "Steezy, what's your sign?" And I told him I was an Aries, and he kind of got quiet, and he said a lot. That was a $1 million conversation at that table, by the way. But this is what tripped me out. Leading up to that discussion with this man who is profound in what he does in the community in terms of LA and the nonprofit sector, getting youth jobs and building a community, literally, right? I was that person. I don't believe in this shit. Downplaying it. But before I got to that table and had that conversation with him, I didn't pick up on it. I don't know shit about signs, I'm not gonna lie, other than Gemini, Scorpios, if that. Had a couple running with Pisces. I just something about those April Aries, but I just found out one of the homies I game with is an April Aries. So, you know, I might be, you know, turning over the new leaf to April Aries, because that's my boy right there. But I really didn't know much, but I knew that people really, really, really knew about people based on their signs. So I had to stop turning a blind eye to it and try to figure it out the least bit to an advantage. So I was no longer blind to my sign than my natal charts.
It's like learning about other cultures so you can have insight on how people think and understand you or the perception of who you
can't,
are.
You can't, it's like people that say, "I don't do social media." You're out of the loop for no reason, but I get it. I understand it, right?
No, so, I understand that.
When I sat at this table with this man and he asked me that, I knew there was a judgment there and I couldn't escape it. So when I looked at the caliber of this person who was well off in their position and established, like I said, throughout the city of Los Angeles, I said, okay.
Well, he gives power to that, so that obviously
meant something. So I was I said, I'm not going to sit here and be like one of these dummies running around here talking about, I don't believe in this shit.
Right. And I agree with you, because the world we live in is not so pure as people put it off to be. Three books I want to share with you guys that I've read this year, and I told my boy about already, is The Alchemist, which is a great book. The Book of Knowledge and The Four Agreements, which are three great books. And it has a lot of terms of what we're talking about. about the perception of how people think you are. You know, you can be going through 10 other things, but the perception that you give off might be something different. You might dress well, you might talk well, you might think better, but your real social life might be in fucking trembles. You know what I mean? So you never really can't give energy to the perception of someone else's thought, because in their world, it's probably a negative perception based on how you're moving, how you're acting. This is why, I mean, it sucks, but you really should have a conversation before, you know, you just look at the cover of a book, because you never know what experience that person has. No, I feel you, prison books.
That's what I'm saying. Trust me, I've done it. I made my apartment before a self-made sale, so that's not the best thing to do, but I get it.
Three things that you would, to finish the question I have for you, three things that you think people should do more for the community that can help this world out.
I alluded to it earlier. We had a conversation before we decided to go live on a podcast. The first one is get active. I've been doing community work, organizing. I work for government now. Like,
How can a dumb person like myself get active?
In the simplest form, stop throwing away clothes and go donate them. If I was to give you the most smallest, like minute thing to do, give back.
Okay.
Go to a food drive. Okay. Throw a food drive.
Okay.
Shit.
Love this.
Donate the money. Like,
love it. Love it.
Figure out what causes mean something to you, and research them and get involved. Like, the least.
If I didn't know how to search for the things that you're talking about on the internet, is there a website you would like to share that a normal person?
Google.com. Gotcha. Literally.
So stop. He's basically saying, audience, stop being stupid. Get on your phone and say, how can I help my community? Basically.
I'm not saying don't be stupid. I'm saying there is something you can do within community. Like, do something. Okay. Just do something. It's 2023. Do something. There's no reason why me, my neighbors, my entire building, and my community, no one's giving back or nobody's doing things to change.
Right.
Then you start elevating to getting involved in parent teachers conferences, getting involved in the new development that's happening in your community. Then you start voting for your sheriffs. Then you start going into detail and realize that you have input, you have a voice, and you can say something to help start sparking and promoting change. But at the end of the day, just get involved, do something. That's just dope. My thing. Like, now you say just do it, my thing is like, just do something.
And it's so rare to hear people say that. And it's kind of refreshing, because I swear back in the 90s, it was more people advocating for, you know, being community driven, basically. It was more block parties. It was more things of such happening. And it sucks that it doesn't happen anymore. I feel like people are more kind of driven towards celebrities, influencers, and not toward, and personal growth, rather than building the community as a whole. What's the second thing you think?
Hold on. My final, let me say.
My bad, dog.
You good. My favorite quote was on Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
And it was like, what did he say? He said, what does Ja Rule think about this? What does Ja Rule think?
Like, what does Ja Rule think about this?
You know what I'm saying? That was comedy. Like,
You
can't be turning this, unless celebrities are 100% hands down involved, then like, I can't. You start asking, you know, people about Ukraine and Pakistan right now, like, why would I ask the next upcoming rapper about that has nothing to do with it? Like, they don't research it, they're not well versed. Like, that doesn't, and then it's promoted through YouTube, TMZ blogs. It just doesn't make sense. Right. Like, why would I ask that? Like, just, you can make the next Heal the World song, and I'm like, damn, this is a dope Heal the World song, but I don't think I want that input from an upcoming rapper or an established rapper that really isn't living day to day and trying to make a change in that, in that certain environment, to be honest.
Right.
But yeah, I just had to say that because
what would Ja Rule think?
they always have
this celebrity at like a crash somewhere. Like, it'd be like, like you said, it'd be like Ja Rule and I don't know, Ben Stiller. You know. Like, you know, we just need your money here in Kuwait. Like, what are y'all doing down there? You know what I'm saying? Your first tip was dope. Just do something. Just do it. Do you have two other things that you, or you just want to cancel it right there? Just get involved.
Vote for real. Vote. And I'm going to say it again. Everything in terms of democracy and leadership has to do with voting. When you get stocks and options, you vote. If you really got, like, you vote.
Right.
Voting is in everything. Coming to a consensus, agreement, or understanding.
Right.
Robert's rule of order. You know what I'm saying? The parliamentarian procedures that govern your city. You know what I'm saying? You should know how that operates. Student bodies, everything.
Like, I mean, and I like how you gave parameters to giving back, and you started with giving back to your community. Then you started with a voting about city council and police and mayors. And then you went bigger to, voting and getting, you know what I mean? He gave you parameters to how to give back. You know what I mean? You don't have to start at the top of the pencil. You can start with helping that homeless person around the street and just getting involved and understanding how you can work these tools.
The top of a pencil is an eraser.
The bottom of the pencil.
I mean, I get you. You're trying to erase debt. You're trying to erase world hunger. Fuck
right,
out of here.
Yeah, no, that's
fuck
real
out of here.
Real talk. Real talk. Damn, this is such a good conversation. We've been talking for 27 minutes so far, and we hit so many different things. A purpose. How do you find one's purpose? How did you find your purpose?
My purpose or my worth?
We can start with
purpose.
We can
start with purpose. I'm messing with you.
No, worth is a good one as well, especially as a black man. You feel me? That's another conversation that's not being had.
I know.
How'd you find your worth? What comes first?
The chicken or the egg?
You feel me?
Purpose. You know, when I got shot in the hood, that's when I fully dedicated my mentality to trying to figure out change. I love South Central with all my heart, and that night I wanted to get divorced, and I never wanted to see her again. I felt like she betrayed me. I felt like the love was no longer there. And I was like, I dedicated my all to you. Like, I was so dedicated, I told myself I would never leave you. Like, I told myself that I was gonna do everything I could to still live here and be with you. But then, you know,
That happened.
And I hated her with every ounce of energy that I could possibly gather in my being over a period of time. But as I began to let go, I wanted to get involved with government and law and policy making, because I felt like there was no true justice in the experience I had, regardless of where I came from and what I've done in the past leading up to that. So after that, you know, I got involved, but purpose. So that's where the light got connected for purpose. I wanted to be an elected, and I've been an elected, and I want to be an elective of a higher power act now and stuff like that. But to keep it 100, I used to look in the mirror every day and the women I was around used to be like, you can see it, you're always looking in the mirror. But they had no clue that what I was doing was something that people don't do on a daily basis, or on I was trying to find out who I was and who I am by taking time and looking in the mirror, trying to look deep down within my soul and ask those questions of like, what I want to do, who are you, where are you going? And I still do that to this day. So my purpose now is, honestly, I just want people to laugh. I want people to get involved. You know, I want to be established and make sure I'm doing what I'm doing in terms of like giving my contribution to the world. I want my legacy, it doesn't have to be known crazy, but I want my legacy to be there. I want to inspire people. Really, that's just what it is. That's my purpose. My purpose is to make sure everybody understand that they could do something. Shit, if I did it, you can do it too, because I got the most non-traditional way of doing a bunch of shit.
Right.
And I got the blueprint.
Right. Which is dope. That's dope. Just I understand that as well, because I feel like I'm non-traditional when it comes to handling business. I feel like I'm always going against the grain and then going with the grain to find my purpose. Anyway, what about worth? How did you understand your worth? And what point did you find it to be?
On a dead homie's worth was easier than that, than purpose.
Than purpose? Like, gotcha.
I just show up with love. I lead with love. So I was always there for people. And I overdid it over a period of time, like a while, because I realized growing up and the things I've been through, I didn't have certain people there, or I didn't ask for certain people to be there that I wanted to be there for me, and people just couldn't be there. You know what I'm saying? Period. So I strive to be that person that was just always there. You know what I mean? I never asked that in return. I never expected that in return. And it was just funny because at the end of the day, like, keeping 100, you know, people just overly took advantage of that. And I never got bitter. I never got sad. I never got upset about it. I just literally, I just told friends and family and colleagues, like, our relationship is now changed. Like, I can no longer do that. Because it got to a point that I'm going to show up consistently as long as I can until literally there's no, like, I know I'm playing myself at that point. And I'm just like, I'm not one to want to play myself. And so that's when I like really understood my worth. And when you think about, we was kind of having this conversation earlier. When I think about the shit I got and the shit I be doing and the shit I've done and where I'm going and where I'm headed and what I've been through to get here, I don't even have to know it. You can see it. You can see it. You can see my work.
I feel like I got, when I see my worth and started to understand who I was as a person, I had to get out of my own way. Once I got out of my own way and I start looking at the positive things in my life rather than it's because it's not just negative. Sometimes you have dreams that don't come to, it doesn't come to finish. You only get halfway there, and you have to let, I don't know, depend on life. For example, music, and this is my own little thing. I might say that I need a laptop to continue my journey in music. Someone else might say, no, you don't. Come over here, and you can do it here. But my own personal journey, I might need my laptop for me to feel comfortable to continue that journey, you know? So it's all about perception. For another example, someone might be able to save their check, and another person might be living check to check. For someone might say, hey, take $500 out of your check, and then take $500 out of your next check, and you'll have $1,000 for your rent, and you're never broke. Some people struggle with the thought of that, and the thought of saving money that way. When you say unconventional, that's a conventional way of saving money, you know? Mm-hmm. Other people struggle with the thought of. What's easy for you might not be easy for me, you know, due to perception, experience, and depression and all that. But to answer the question, I got out of my own way, ladies and gentlemen. I started to love myself more, talk to myself more, respect myself more, and I stopped all the inner dialogue with myself. me asking myself a question and my brain answering it.
Do you mean the negative dialogue?
The negative dialogue.
You should never stop inner dialogue.
Well, you know, I still have inner dialogue, but I stopped the negative dialogue.
Just want to be clear.
Yeah, no, definitely. I stopped beating on myself. I stopped being the judge, the victim, and the jury. I cut all that out. Now I'm only leading with love and positivity. Gotcha. Even if I do mess up, I still don't judge myself. I just push myself to do better in the area where I messed up at. Try not to condemn myself.
Lil Wayne said it best. He said, "My fuck ups are the perfect mistake."
Right. I feel that.
No, you don't.
No, I do. I really do. That's some real talk, though, man. Like, you really got to love yourself out here. Because if you don't love yourself, you're not going to have nothing to give to somebody else if you choose to do that. But my ideology on life is I don't think we're built to be alone. You know, I think we have to have people around us to grow. Well, how about you? What do you think about that?
How did you just finish your statement?
I don't think we should be alone. I think people are built to have people around them.
In order for what?
To grow.
That's it. That's why I don't trust people saying, "I'm gonna work on myself." You work on yourself, and we'll meet in the middle somewhere. And normally that comes from work. So I'm going to take that from a work perspective. I remember when Obama put forth the initiative of Boys and Men of Color, BMOC, and I remember sitting down in a group BMOC. Full of black men. And then there was a group of Latinos, and I remember that was like, whoa, we'll work on us and we'll come back to the table with what we think and how we should move forward. And, you know, y'all should do the same. It was on this, like, let me make sure my house is good before we start
checking on your house.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But excuse me, the odds of people doing that is very slim. That shit really just don't happen. And so I could tell you, I don't even think they ever really re-engaged in a whole nother conversation about Boys and Men of Color.
Right.
Around that time when I was at that meeting. Like,
wow.
I think I was supposed to be scheduled to go for a lot of meetings, and that didn't happen. And so I take that analogy with me, because a lot of people think you can grow on your own, and you can grow on your own. I'm not saying that you can't, but you can only go so far because you're only one person.
I agree with that, yeah.
And you need an outside perspective to a certain extent
to
support you with your growth and development.
I
don't want people to listen to this and think like, oh, I gotta take in everybody's input. No, right. there's people out there that don't know what the hell they're talking about. I'm gonna keep it 100. They just talk the talk.
Right.
They just be talking.
Right.
But like with love and like being vulnerable, you can't learn how to be vulnerable by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be in partnership.
I agree with that.
So that's why I agree with what you said about growing. Like, you need people around you to grow. However, like, I've been in a silo for a minute and I'm still growing.
Right.
But that's because there's a certain approach that I have within my silo that allows me to grow in specific areas.
Right.
But I can only grow in other areas if I'm around those people that are invested in my development, like you're saying.
Right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Yeah. Especially for men. I think you have to be around other men, younger and older, just to put you in your place about thoughts, life, perspective, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't be out here having stagnant thoughts about ignorant stuff and not having no one to check you. I was telling you, that's what I was saying. Just being around y'all, period. When I say y'all audience, I mean my friends, family, whatever the case may be. And you share your ideology on life. Somebody gonna say, nah, nigga, you stupid. You know, because life is not like that. It's really about perspective and how you think someone is loving you and how you love yourself. So, no, that's deep. we in 40 minutes right now. You want to keep it? Final thoughts you want to share with the audience?
Well, you started this off with Black people and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I believe in spirits. I believe in the universe.
Believe in God?
I don't believe in a particular God, but mm-hmm. I believe there is a higher power, a higher. That's why we're here.
You believe in the devil?
I believe you can't have negative energy without positive energy.
Demons?
Yeah. I had a verse where I rapped about that.
You do music?
I do music. I mean, my latest song out is in partnership with the homie Justin Hale, like Justin Hale, but it's Justin Hale, which is interesting.
What type of music do you do?
I rap.
Okay. Is this hip hop?
It's rap.
Okay.
I make poetry too.
Dope. You make poetry. I remember it's funny. This guy has so many layers. You know what I mean? What type of rap and what type of poetry and what's your message in your music?
My message is me. I'm just trying to find an outlet that makes sense to not only welcome people into my world, but just get people to understand how I think. I think very different, and I understand that. And so if you ever want to really get to know me, ask me about my art. Tell me you want to hear a poem. Ask me about my latest music. Ask me how I feel about something, and I'll get philosophical with you. That is to get to know me. That is to get to understand how I think. Once you understand how I think, I believe you understand my approach to life. You understand my sense of humor. You understand like why I exist the way I exist and why I talk and move the way I talk. So the best way to do that, to know that and learn that, is through me being my most vulnerable. And I'm most vulnerable with my art, my music, my poems, my journals, and my love.
What made you want to share your poetry right now? It's the first time I've ever heard about you doing poetry. What made you want to share it?
So
that's personal, you know? That's personal stuff.
I've been in this place of like trying to protect my emotions and vulnerability, like a person would do a cash cow, or how people be like, I'm trying to protect my peace. Like, I don't know why I did that voice, but that's how people, I'm protecting my peace. No, I don't want to, like, I don't protect for my peace. I protect for my vulnerability. I protect for my right to feel as a man, be emotional as a man, shit, show femininity as a man. You know, I ain't talking out this world of like, whatever the case somebody thought about when I said that. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about, I know what pain is. You know what I'm saying? I know what it means to be delicate. I know what it means to cry. And I'm gonna protect for that vulnerability as a Black man, as who I am, what I stand for, what I came from, and the cloth I'm cut from. Like, yes, I'm gonna protect for my vulnerability, because there's too many people out here trying to be hard, pause, trying to be like, oh, I'm a man, I'm a gangster. It could be all those things, but I'd rather show my sensitive side.
I feel that. I definitely try to remove myself from all that.
I want that inner child to show.
Yeah, I feel that.
I want to see her inner child. I want to show my inner child, and I want our inner childs to meet. Goddamn. Like, that's what it is.
It's like removing yourself from everyone's perception, but
what up?
Putting yourself back in the neighborhood so people can see that your true self.
I just don't want to front on that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, look. So people be like, yo, Steezy, you joke all the time. You so funny. I had to realize I was putting up a front, bruh. I used to be like everybody else. I used to sit there with a serious face. Nobody wanted to approach me. Nobody wanted to talk to me. So what I do, I just start being a jokester all the time. I did open up more just because, like, I was smart. Like I said, I think different. I'm very intellectual and philosophical. I just knew what it was at a young age. Don't be like this, be like that. You will achieve more. And here I am today. Like, see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, It's not hard, but there's certain things that make me, my eyes get watery if I think about love in a certain way. Like, I ain't gonna lie, in a positive way. Like, I get excited about that. Like, dude, you can feel? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right. You well, you know, like, they train us to put, especially men, to put those emotions, you know, get money first, you know?
I cry laughing at certain shit. I'm laughing now. I cry laughing at certain shit. I remember I called my brother Domino up and I was just in tears about some shit, laughing hard. And he was like, bro, get it out. I just couldn't because I just thought this shit was so funny. It had me in tears. I get inspired by certain people. I get teary-eyed. Like, I ain't talking about, no, this person can't walk, but they play football. I ain't talking about tears to that. No disrespect.
Yeah, it's a different type of joy. It's a different type of joys. Yeah.
I just get moved and inspired by it. I get watery-eyed. Yeah. And I enjoy it. Yeah. I enjoy it.
So many different type of arts out here. You can get inspired by somebody hitting a home run, a movie, emotional scene. Yeah, of course. Totally different type of joys.
And that's why I want to make music and I want to write.
Right.
Like, because I want to be that person one day, sooner than later, that I could just write the most beautiful piece and portray the most wonderful art, and somebody could just be like, damn, Steezy did that. And I'll be like, I know, because it was my intention and I landed it, that impact, and I did it.
Do you want to share any way the audience or the people can get in contact with you to share with the community? They might have some questions with you. How can the people get in contact? IG, Twitter,
Damn, what is my IG? I mean, this, it ain't really no. I'm gonna be streaming on kick.com/dsteezy22. Instagram is dsteezy music. I got a link tree. My link tree is dsteezy. Like, you can just find me. I'm online.
I'm definitely gonna put everything in the bio for excuse you guys.
Let me correct myself. Monday through Friday, I do a morning show on the app called Beagle Live. It's a podcast or a morning show. It's only supposed to be 30 minutes. Management said do an hour. The management is pushing for me to do 2 hours. It starts 6 a.m. PST. You normally get to see the sunrise behind me out of this big, beautiful window that's like closed right now. The shades are closed. But I've been doing that. And we talk, like, the conversation we're having now is the conversation we have online in regards to health and well-being, government, finances. Like, you love and relationships is always my thing. Like I said, I love, like, that just comes in there. But I create a safe space for everybody to just, you know, talk and share their experiences or what they think about something, and we have a good time. That's literally, again, Monday through Friday on, like I said, it's called Beagle Live TV. But season two, I've been rocking out with this shit since summer, but I didn't really sit down and really do it till August, and I'm talking Monday through Friday I was doing it, or mid-September I was doing it every morning, Monday through Friday at the same time. But season two, we're gonna take it over to TikTok. That's where you can find it for sure, and you can find me on TikTok by searching dsteezy, dsteezy. So Monday through Friday, that's where I'm gonna be at with that. And I do gaming on Kick. And right now I'm live on Kick, so make sure you follow me on Kick, because that's where I'm going. That's literally where I'm going. Rapping, gaming, streaming, podcasting. I'm just in community. I just do my part.
Definitely going to push some more podcasts out there, ladies and gentlemen. I see y'all listening. Next conversation probably that we're going to have is probably going to be about relationships, and I want to dive more into that, because, and I want to have more people. I see I can add more people on here, so maybe we can have more guests and have some women on here and have their thoughts about it. I'm gonna end this podcast right now. It's your boy Young Dury, Young D, you feel me? More new music on the way sooner than later. My boy Steezy, D Steezy. And yeah, good looking, bro. I appreciate you. You shared a lot of good things, and I can't wait to share this and see what the people think. Sure. So I'm gonna holler at y'all, man. Love you, my bro. Let me catch up with you.
Love you too.
Peace.